Take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Matthew chapter 4 today. Matthew chapter 4. So I want to thank Jerry for allowing me to teach here at the Advance, and sure has been a wonderful time for all of us here. We've learned a lot, and it's just been really great. However, I am concerned that some of you may have some deep questions that you may have now that you didn't have before you came. For example, how did two blind men really follow Jesus Christ? Is Michael Gilmore really a trapper? Should all believers be like Joel Nafe? And why do some songs appear shorter when certain people sing them? So these questions may be worth discussing further on the way home, possibly. But today we're going to look at God's Word, our lifestyle. You know, as Bobby prayed, this is, you know, we're going to return to the valley of human need. And is this just one weekend high? Is it a one weekend wonder? Or is it the beginning of a new lifestyle? Or is it, for those of us who've been in the Word a long time, another piece in the path of the walk of a committed believer? And so what we're going to look at today is a little bit about God's Word, our lifestyle. Because what we're really talking about is not just fun and games, not just, you know, playing around, but it's really life. It's really life how God and His Son, Jesus Christ, wants us to live. So we're going to look at a little definition of God's Word, our lifestyle, and we're also going to see some wonderful examples of what the Word of God says about this. You know, Jesus Christ was the master of life. He mastered life. He never made a mistake. Some of you guys are engaged. Now, I'm not going to mention any names, but I know there's a lot of love in the room. And you guys are engaged, and you're going to change your life. You're making lifestyle changes now because of some person that you love. And you want to spend the rest of your life with this person. And you make these serious changes, who you're going to live with, where you're going to live, all these different things because of a person. As we hear God's Word and we really understand the beauty of it and the truth of it, because of our own freedom of will, we decide to make some lifestyle changes. We decide to live our life how Jesus Christ recommended. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I did too much talking. No, you guys are there and I'm not. Matthew chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said, it is what? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The master of life, the one who mastered life, is giving us a recommendation how to live life. This isn't Donald Trump sharing his successes with us, P. Diddy or Tony Robbins telling us how to live our life. This is Jesus Christ, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wow, that's how to live life. So that's what we're going to look at today. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And where do we find these words that proceed out of the mouth of God? We find them from the Scriptures. It is written. You know, the word Scripture in the Greek, it means that which is written or the writings. We're to live our life according to the writings or according to the scripture. Look at Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a weekend. It's not just what we do at fellowship or when believers are around. It's a lifestyle. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 3, it says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," or from above. He had perfect understanding of all things from above. And because of he had that, then he did something else. He did what? He wrote, "To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." He had perfect understanding from above, and he wrote. The writings, the scripture, came from men who had perfect understanding from above, and then they wrote God's word. So if that's really true, if there is a God and he gave his word to people, and this is God's word, then that changes the equation of everything. Because there is nothing like this. There is no other book, there's no other manual, there's no other keys to success that comes anywhere near this, because this is truth. And if this really is truth, and we believe that it is, then that's something. There is nothing else. It changes everything. Everything is different. Why? Because there is nothing like this. You know, when I was a young boy, I wanted to help people, but I was afraid. And I didn't know how. I wanted to help people, but I didn't want to tell anybody anything that was wrong. So I was a little afraid to help people, because sometimes when you try to help somebody and you tell them the wrong thing, it really doesn't help them. It makes it worse. And I really wanted to help people, but I didn't know how. And when I was 17 years old, which was only 5 years ago, I took a Bible class called Power for Abundant Living. It was about 40 years ago. That's a long time. My hair was a different color then. And I learned that the Bible was true. And you know, I wanted something to help people. I wanted something to straighten my life out, just like us. And I learned that the Bible was true, and that changed my life. And I wanted to be all over it, to use an expression now. I wanted to be all over it, and I wanted it to be all over my brain. I wanted to just saturate my brain with God's word. Why? Because it was true. It is true. And this is what we're dealing with today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this lifestyle of "it is written," since this is true, it's something that we need to know. It's something that we need to act on. It's the standard of our thoughts, our behavior, our emotions, our feelings. It's the standard of our judgments. Why? Because it's true. It's true. This is it. So do we want to be right? Do we want to help people? It's the standard of our relationship with God. It's how we know God. Man, and if we can learn this and apply it and carry it out in the love of God, man, we're going to walk with God. And our lives are going to be a fulfillment of what the Bible says. So let's take a look then at some examples of this lifestyle of "it is written." Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written." So, Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse 3 it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thy what? We're to write, it is written, in our heart. That's not a very good place for a tattoo, is it? No, I don't think I would want that. Is this figurative or literal then? Must be a figure. We're to take the scriptures, the writings, and write them in our heart. We're to take God's heart and make his heart our heart. So what a great place to start in studying a lifestyle of it is written is to write the scriptures, to write it is written in our hearts. And as we know, it's not just doesn't take one day. To write it is written in our heart. Look at Luke chapter 4. So we're to take it as written and write it in our heart. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 16. You know, Jesus Christ knew God's word. He believed God's word, and he went to God's word to see who he was and what he was supposed to do. He went to God's word and he saw who he was, and he believed it, and he carried out God's word. His life was a fulfillment of the word of God. In Luke chapter 4 and in verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He stood up in front of these people, and he opened the book, and he read something about himself. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were fastened on the synagogue. All of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Why was that scripture fulfilled in their ears? Because he was the one that the Bible talked about. And he had the guts and the believing to stand up and to believe God and to walk out on God's word. And the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament happened because one man believed what the Bible said about him. And you know, that's just like what we need to do today. Our lives can be a fulfillment of what God's word says about us. I need a little help here. Actually, I need a lot of help. Who'd like to read John chapter 14, verse 12? Okay, Jeffrey. How about Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Thalia. How about Mark 16, 17? Okay, Katie. And that's it. Okay, so Jesus Christ believed God's word concerning himself. And look what happened. Mankind was redeemed because one man believed what the scripture said concerning himself. You know, there's verses in the Bible that were written a long time ago that are about us. Our lives can be a fulfillment of God's word when we believe his word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Who'd like to? Who's got that? Did I see Acts 1, verse 8? Okay, go ahead, Tom. The uttermost part of the earth must include New Jersey, right? That verse, when we believe it, we fulfill what that verse says. Mark 16, 17. Who's got that one? Okay. These signs shall follow them that what?
Believe.
We're believers, right? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Jesus Christ said that 2,000 years ago. We fulfill what he said as we walk out and believe his word. He stood up in that synagogue and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." When we walk out on God's word, the word of God is fulfilled in our life. John chapter 14, verse 12. Who'd like to read that one? Okay, Jeffrey.
John chapter 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father."
As we believe that, Jesus Christ wasn't a liar. He said, "The works that I do, ye shall do also." As we believe those verses, the same thing. It is written was his lifestyle. It is written is our lifestyle too as we walk out and we believe his word. In Luke chapter 4 and in verse 22 it says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." Luke 4:22. "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not who?" He stood up and he read a prophecy about the Messiah. And then he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he sat down. And they said, "Hey, ain't you Joseph's kid?" Sometimes we pay too much attention about what people think of us. Do we think or do we believe what God's word says about us? He stood up, he read the word, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." As we believe God's word in our life, we fulfill, it is written, what God's word says about us. Look at John chapter 20, verse 31. John 20. This principle was hit in different ways. John 20, 31. This lifestyle of it is written is one of believing. John 20, 31. It says, "But these things are written that ye might," what?
Believe.
"Believe. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The lifestyle of it is written is having enough Bible, is to be able to have God's word, the scriptures written in our heart to the end that we believe it. It's not stress or strain. It's just carrying it out. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew 4. This lifestyle of it is written, God's word, it is written, is the focus of our thoughts, our desires, our emotions. It is the sword of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 1, in Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of" who? There was only one other time in human history where a person had a direct confrontation with the devil, and that was Eve. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered." Have any of you guys ever not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? People do some crazy things when they're hungry, don't they? People beat people. People eat people. People eat a lot of things. 40 days and 40 nights he hadn't eaten. And then along comes the adversary, the tempter. Watch verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." He answered with, "It is written." The only other time that man was confronted directly with the adversary was in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look there and then we'll come back. Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Jesus Christ's response to the devil was, "It is written." In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, "It is written." No. He said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." He didn't say, "It is written." He said, "Is it really written? Is it really written?" The first question ever given to humanity was about, "Is it really written?" Verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Is that exactly what "it is written" is? It is the complete opposite of "it is written." Let's look back at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Man's basic choice is to choose "it is written" or choose something else. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Hey, if you're the man, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. I know you're hungry. But he answered and said, "It is written." He didn't consider it like Eve did. He said, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." A little while ago, somebody came and talked to me, and they were a failure at something they tried twice in the recent past. This man came to me and he told me that for two nights in a row, he tried to commit suicide, and he failed. I was kind of happy he did. He was a failure. So to help him, we got into these scriptures here in Matthew chapter 4. And we looked at some of these principles on how he could remain alive. This lifestyle of "it is written," it's a lifestyle. And in many ways, it's a lifestyle of life and death. And for this man here to remain alive, he needed to stop the devilish habit that he had developed in his life. But he answered and said, "It is written." He didn't allow his mind to go anywhere. He brought it right back. Eve said something different. She considered it. And he said in response, "It is written." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You know, a lot of times when we're looking up quotations, it's very good to be able to go to the Old Testament and really see where this quotation comes from. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Deuteronomy 8. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written." Deuteronomy 8. Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, and he quoted this scripture. In Deuteronomy 8 and in verse 3. any humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this quote was taken from the Old Testament concerning when the children of Israel were in the desert, in the wilderness. Now, some scholars believe that there were a lot of people, 2 to 2.5 million people in the desert. And you know, in the desert, there was no food. There was no food for 2.5 million people. There were no bagel places. There were no McDonald's. And for those of you from the South, there were no Piggly Wigglies. For those of you who don't know what a Piggly Wiggly is, it's a supermarket. There were no pizza places. There were no food trucks, greasy food trucks. There were no pasta places. There was nothing. Now, those of you from Manhattan, how many people really live on the island of Manhattan? Gonna need a little help. Is it 2 million possibly? No. Live on Manhattan. There's not 8 people. Do we know? 2 million maybe? 2.5? 8 million on the island who live? 2. Thank you. Okay. So, imagine the size of this problem. God has to feed the people in Manhattan every single day. Without food, without anything, without restaurants. 2 million people in the desert with no restaurants, no food, no kitchens, no nothing. Is that a big problem? It's a major problem. And God kept 2 million people alive for 40 years. You know, the number fluctuated. For 40 years. That's a massive food problem. And they had no food. God supplied. And Jesus Christ pulls this quote out and he said, hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Sometimes there is no food. Sometimes there's nothing in life. Sometimes a situation, sense knowledge-wise, is hopeless. 2 million people in the desert without food is hopeless. Except for one thing, there's a God, and he delivered. So if God can deliver 2 million people in the desert without food, and he supplies that need, the size of Manhattan for 40 years, can God get us a job? Can he help me feed my family? Can he take care of me? We have a big God. Man shall not live by bread alone. No matter what the situation is, sometimes there ain't no bread. But the bottom line is, it is written, there's God. And he delivers absolutely. God supplied the need back then, and he supplies the need now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Look back at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle in the temple. And he said unto them, hey, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is what? Who's quoting Scripture? Whoa, the devil is quoting Scripture. Sometimes it's easy to follow people that quote Scripture. But just because people quote Scripture, that doesn't mean they're right. And the devil takes him up into a holy city and sits him on a pinnacle and said, hey, if you're the Son of God, surely you can do that. Cast thyself down, for it is written, thou shalt give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone? And Jesus said unto him, it is what? His response to the adversary once again is, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. And again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and what? Did he say to him, I'll make you a millionaire? I'll make you a millionaire. No, you know what? I'll make you a billionaire. No, you know what? You can have Asia. That's too small. You can have North America. You can have South America. No, you can have Africa too. You know what? I'm going to give this guy everything. All the kingdoms of the world, if you just do one thing, man, if you fall down and worship me, it's all yours. You know, we have an expression in English, every man has his price. To Jesus Christ, it is written, was priceless. And he didn't compromise on God's word. It is written. That's how we're supposed to live our life. If we have needs in our life, if we have wants and desires, compromising God's word to get them sure doesn't help us in the long run. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This it is written lifestyle. Who's got a loud voice? Okay, Bill, why don't you stand up and you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 3 through 4. Go ahead, Bill, blast it out.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to pull it down strongholds.
Thank you. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to what?
Obedience.
The obedience of Christ. So, we have an expression in English, we sweep things under the rug. Sometimes we sweep our own thoughts under the rug and we don't want to look at them. Sometimes we hide them in a corner. If we have a problem in our life, if we have problem loving, if we have a problem forgiving, if we have a problem, you know, with condemnation, just take a look at it in light of God's word and then just change. It's really, really simple. Line everything up with God's word and want to change. Say I have a problem with bitterness. If I have a lifestyle of it is written in my mind, I look at that in my life and I go, okay, well, gee, I can change that. I line it up with God's word and I just change it. And that's all there is to it. We just need to walk. We need to be free. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and in verse 6 it says, and he answered and said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the what? The commandments of men. Let's face it. In our society today, in many circles, certain brands of Christianity have become a laughingstock in our society. People are tired of the legalism, the bondage, the condemnation, and even the abuse of the wrong practice of Christianity. That's true, isn't it? It sure is. And why does that happen? And why is this verse so alive in our society today? Because people have elevated for doctrines the commandments of men. On the other hand, what Jesus Christ taught here is, it is written. You know, we have a message to speak to the people of this our day and time. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
That's true. Not the commandments of men, not the legalism, the bondage, and all this other kind of stuff, but ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know God, we have a relationship with God, not because certain leaders have taught us their own take on a certain things, but because we've walked and we've lived, it is written. Proverbs chapter 22. Almost done here. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 20. I want to be free. How about you? I want to be free. I don't want rules and regulations that people make up. And we've been spoiled. Some of us have learned God's word for 20, 30, 40 years. And people right now need the truth of God's word to be free. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 18. For it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto they this day, even to thee. Have I not written, it is written, to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Our lifestyle of it is written is not only living freedom, but is able to share the words of truth with others so that we can set them free. Look at Matthew chapter 4 once again. In Matthew chapter 4 is the theme verse for this lifestyle of it is written. So, it is written in our hearts. It's seeing ourselves as a fulfillment of God's word as we live the word. It's a lifestyle of believing. It's a lifestyle of using Scripture to avoid temptation, of using Scripture as the sword of the Spirit. It's the standard and basis for our knowledge and application and our relationship with God. It's a lifestyle of, it is written, of freedom and of service. We have the privilege to be able to stand up and to say when we walk in God's Word, our life can be a fulfillment of this living Word of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Our lives are a fulfillment of it is written. What a wonderful time we've had at this advance. We've done a lot of laughing, a lot of wonderful things, and we've learned a lot of Bible. And we've learned a little bit about a whole lot of things. And we can leave here and we can go back and we can shine as lights, as God said in the manifestations. And we can live our life as a fulfillment of It is written. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What a privilege we have as believers to be able to have tasted the greatness of what that means. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. And in verse 4. Matthew 4:4. It says, but he answered and said, it is what?
Written.
It is written. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Or pasta either, by the way. I had to throw that in there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The man who mastered life said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God is absolutely faithful to every jot and tittle of his word. And the bottom line in life is, do we choose it is written? Let's choose it is written and let's see God work big time in our lives. Father, thank you for this day. Thanks for the privilege that we have here to live your word and to walk it and to carry it out. Thanks for all the wonderful things that you've done for us. And thank you, Father, that we can walk with you and live for you and be able to help minister your word and bring deliverance to your people and to this world, that your word may live again here in this country and around the countries all around the world. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.